Welcome, Hope at Home. We're so glad you're here with us today. By the way, if you're new with us today and you want to reach out to the seat pocket in front of you, there's a little card there you can grab to let us know that you were here. Online, you can follow the links, but you can put that right in that lockbox in the back of the church. We would love to know that you visited us today. All right. Well, let me introduce myself. If I haven't met you yet, I did see a few new people here today. So I'm Pastor Kevin St. Clair. I'm the associate pastor, and I get to be the associate pastor here at Hope Church. When Pastor Jim's out of town, I'm up to bat, and it's such a privilege. It's a privilege to speak and to get into the Word and to share it, and I love it. It is one of my favorite things to do. I love the Word, and so today, if you're new today, we are actually concluding a series today, and we've been going through Psalm 23. So we're gonna finish that up in our series called Living the Good Life. Let's just read it one more time. Just listen. I'm going to read through Psalm 23. It's just six verses. And then we're going to tackle the last verse here this morning. Okay? Psalm 23, 1 through 6. It's the Psalm of David. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for His name's sake. And even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for You are with me, Your rod and Your staff. They comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." In verse 6, "Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Amen. The Word does speak. It speaks, doesn't it? It's so good. You know, that last line is so important for today. Right? We need to find God's goodness and mercy in our lives. We've got to find that. That's what David concludes after he says all this stuff that he went through. This is what he concludes. You know, David has just testified that no matter where he is in life, you know, whether it's in a restful place, whether it's in a dangerous place, or whether it's right in the middle of his enemies, there's nowhere you can go and not find goodness and mercy. And I think that this is something that the whole world ponders. I think everybody ponders this. They wonder about God's goodness and mercy. And you know, after doing so, there's a lot of people that don't come to the same conclusion that David did. Right? They don't land there. They actually walk away from God, thinking, you know, how can we find comfort in God's goodness and mercy when we're seeing family members die, friends suffer, terrible things going on in the world? I mean, that certainly doesn't feel like a good and merciful God out there is watching over us. Doesn't always feel that way. And, you know, and oftentimes in life, people miss the goodness and mercy of God, and they actually go on without Him. And they simply get lost in the valleys or in the tragedies or even in the place of fear. And David opens this last line, where he closes Psalm 23 with the word, "Surely, surely." See, he is convinced of this, You couldn't tell David that God's goodness and mercy wasn't with him. He wouldn't believe you. He wouldn't accept that. And so how do we see his goodness and mercy in life? Right? The same way David did, how do we land there, knowing with certainty that goodness and mercy are with us? How do we know that? And so I just want to explain this morning what David meant when he said this, and for that, we're going to just jump over into a different story, okay? So stick with me here. I want to go back to Exodus, okay? And in Exodus, we have the privilege of seeing an interaction between Moses and the Lord. And the Bible says that the Lord would speak to Moses face to face, as one speaks to a friend. And this would happen in what was called the tent of meeting, right? It was the tabernacle. It was where God's presence was. And I don't know about you, but I just go, wow, when I hear stuff like that. Like, how incredible would it be to talk to God like that, right? Face to face as a friend. I mean, Moses and the Lord must have been pretty close. I would imagine they were. And when you think of Moses, you know, there's no question in his mind about whether God was there or not, right? He was there. There was no question about whether or not his prayers were heard. They were heard. And Moses got to ask the Lord anything that he wanted to ask the Lord. And I just think, you know what? What would I say? What would you say to God if you were there, you know, face to face? What would you even ask for, right? Maybe there's a whole list of things you have questions about, you want answers for. Let's go. You know, God, why did this happen, right? Why did that happen, Lord? What? Why is there suffering in the world, Lord? Why is there still evil out there, even though you're standing right here in front of me face to face? Right? You think Moses thought that? I don't know. I mean, there was God right there. I would think, why is there evil out there? You're here. Why is it still there? Right? I'd be thinking, when are we getting out of this desert? Can you tell us that? God, what is the plan? You know, there's just a list of things you could ask the Lord, right? But that is not what Moses said in this circumstance. Here's what Moses said to God. In Exodus 33:13, here's what he said. He said, if you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. I would so like to think that that's what I would say to God. I would like to think that I was like that holy, you know, like that good, like just of all the things. Teach me your ways, because I want to know you better. And I want to find favor with you. And that's what my whole life is about, right? You know, I'm not so worried about all that other stuff. Moses wasn't so worried about all that other stuff. What he was most concerned about was God would teach him his ways so he can know who he is. And so God says, okay, here's how I'm going to answer that question. You want me to teach you so you can know me? Here's how I'm going to answer that question. God says, my very presence will go with you wherever you go. Meaning that he would be with Israel. He would be with Moses wherever they went. Moses said, I sure hope so, because I really don't want to go anywhere without your presence. In fact, if your presence isn't with me, I don't want to go at all. Right? Okay. Lord, teach me your ways so that I can know you more, okay? Lord, the Lord says, my presence will go with you. And so then Moses says, okay, show me your glory. In other words, show me your presence. Show me who you are. Now listen to how God shows Moses his presence and his glory. It's in verse 19, Exodus 33. And the Lord said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. And I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So Moses asked to see the glory of God, to know who he was, right? To know his presence. And God promised to show Moses his goodness. Because that's who God is. It lies in his goodness. So when Moses saw the glory of God and God answered his prayer and he saw his presence, he first understood that God was good. That's how God answered that question. Who are you, God? Show yourself to me. Okay, I will. I am good. Everything good in the world reflects God. That's who he is. And you think about this moment, this amazing moment. God didn't reveal his justice to Moses. He didn't reveal like his great power right here. He didn't reveal his wrath, against sin. Although those are all parts of God's nature. But when he showed himself to Moses, his presence, his glory, he showed his goodness. It's hard to even fathom what that even means. But we understand goodness is just the best of everything, And so if we don't know that God is good, then we don't know God. Okay, if you're struggling with not knowing if God is good, don't be offended by this, but you don't know God. Because if we knew God, we would know he was good. And Moses knew that, and he had to ask that question. Even though the Bible says he was the most humble man on the earth, he still wanted to know God better. And so it starts with knowing the goodness of God. This is the essence of who God is. And so if you want to understand God, then the first thing you must understand is that God is good and God is merciful. Notice he talked about his mercy in that answer as well. Why do people question the goodness of God? Why do people ponder this? I'll tell you why. It's because they don't know God. They don't know God. And we spend a lifetime getting to know God at a deeper level. Okay, now let's jump back over to David. what we see here in Psalm 23. What we see here is that David knew that if the presence of God was with him, just like it was with Moses, then the goodness and mercy of God has to be there. Because that's who God is. And in every situation you face in life, if God is with you, then goodness and mercy are with you. And they will follow you through everything you've ever been through. You know, notice he doesn't say, only good things will happen. All right, David's life was full of trouble. Some of the trouble he jumped into himself. He dug his own pit and fell in. But as long as God was with him, goodness and mercy followed. All those mistakes and everything he did. And that's one of the best things about King David is he always, always fell back on the Lord. He fell into the arms of the Father in good times and in bad times. You know, maybe you haven't experienced God like Moses did. Or you don't feel quite as close to him right now as David. And that's okay. I want to say that's okay. You don't have to feel bad. There's still time to get to know him, right? Because God doesn't only want to know David and Moses. He wants to know you. And in fact, we know that God already knows you. He knows who you are because he made you, right? He knows every hair on your head. And some of you that don't have any hair on your head. He knows you. I think there's only one guy that doesn't have any hair on his head. But he's my next door neighbor. I love him. He knows it. He knows who you are, right? But what you need to know is that he is good. His very nature is good. And he's merciful. And what this means, you know, when we say God is good, it means there is no evil in God. None whatsoever. No evil comes from God. His intentions, they're good. His motivations, they are good. His plans, they are all good. He does what is right, and it's good. There's no darkness in God, only good. And this goodness goes on forever. And God is good for so many reasons. If we stop and just thought about how good God is, we could never get to the end of that thought. We can never get to the end of that thought. And you know, David, sometimes, you know, he went through a lot of stuff, and sometimes he just had to stop and he just had to remember from time to time how good God is. And so let me just, one of those times, I'm just going to read this. It's a little long, so we don't have it up there, but Psalm 103, starting with verse 2, let me just listen to this, okay? He says, praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. See, he's telling himself, don't forget how good God is. Verse 3, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion? Who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles? He says, the Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, and slow to anger, abounding in love. Man, he's good. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve. Hallelujah. You can say praise the Lord to that. Come on. He does not treat us as our sins deserve. He doesn't repay us according to our iniquities. Verse 11 says, "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." How far apart is the east from the west? I don't know. I can't really measure that. You know, one of my sons asked me in the car a number of years ago. I think he was maybe 6 or 7 years old. He said, "Dad, how old is God?" That's kind of a fun conversation when you're just driving on your way to the store. "Dad, how old is God?" I said, "Well, he's like eternal. He's like forever." You know, when you talk to kids, like, you always just emphasize, like, "He forever." You know, it's so fun to talk to kids. My son said, "Oh, he's older than I thought." And I'm like, you know, he thought God was like 100 years old or something, right? And here's the thing. He has no limit, and neither does his faithfulness. Neither does his love. Neither does his goodness, right? It is who he is. This is why we worship him, because we love him, and he loves us so much. What a great relationship. And look at the last part of this scripture. "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Right? Let me tell you how things ultimately turn out. We get to be in the presence of God forever. Yay! I'm tired of going through hard stuff here on earth. Right? But God uses all that to bring us to him, to be in his presence, and then eventually we will get to be in it forever. And so what this psalm tells us is that we can live with the faithful expectation that God will, he will bring about goodness and mercy. Amen? He'll bring it about now. He'll bring it about for the rest of our lives. And we will have it forever. You know, the psalmist here, David, he could have easily written into this. He could have said, "Although the world often brings about bad things, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life." He could have put that, but it doesn't need to be said, does it? Right? We know how much bad there is. And it doesn't need to be there. But what needs to be said and what needs to be heard by us is that God's goodness and mercy has already been established forever. Amen. Come on. Somebody's clapping. I'm following you. You clapped first. So I'm just following you. That's awesome. All right? It is certain. It's the only outcome for those who trust the Lord. And if you want more of it, God's goodness and mercy, then here's my advice and here's the takeaway. And the best one I think I could ever give you is get closer to him. Just get closer. Pray. Right? Like David did, like Moses did. Get in the Word. Love his Word. Right? Don't get further away. When hard times come, we got to lean in to the Father and get closer to him so we know his goodness and how we need his mercy so much. Okay? You know, as we close this morning, we're going to sing about God's goodness. So let me say a few words, and worship band, why don't you come back on up? I'll let you get all situated, and we're going to sing about God's goodness. And I just want you to just... You know, we're a little early today, but we got a minute to sing, right? And I just want you to worship the Lord because of his goodness. Not for any other reason. Just because he's so good, you know? And we struggle in our lives to land on that thought, right? From day to day. We struggle, and the reason we struggle is that, you know, we expect God's goodness and mercy to kind of look a particular way, right? And what are those ways? We hope for good health. We hope for no loss. We hope for no pain. We hope for family harmony all the time, and we hope for financial security, but we know that things don't always go that way. They just don't always go that way in this world. And what we've got to remember that His goodness and His mercy has been poured out for you on the cross. And it's continued to be poured out for you every day. It covers you. And if you'll just cling to that truth, here's what I promise you. You're going to discover that you have greater joy in your struggles than you ever did before, because you know the goodness and mercy of God. Amen. Let me pray. Why don't we stand together? Oh, Heavenly Father, we come before You to worship You for Your goodness. And David said this, he said, "One thing I ask from the Lord, the only, and one thing I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to see You in Your temple. And in the days of trouble, You will keep me safe." And God, help us to get closer to You. Help us to know Your goodness and Your mercy, to accept that, Lord, in our lives. We give You thanks and we give You praise. We can't even fathom how good You are, but we're so thankful that You love us. Your love is unfailing.